The Slave Experience of the Holidays. Welcome to the Documenting the American South Highlights podcast. Doc South is a digital publishing initiative sponsored by the University Library at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. American slaves experienced the Christmas holidays in many different ways. Joy, hope, and celebration were naturally a part of the season for many. For other slaves, these holidays conjured up visions of freedom and even the opportunity to bring about that freedom. Still others saw it as yet another burden to be endured. This month, Documenting the American South considers the Christmas holidays as they were viewed by enslaved Americans. The prosperity and relaxed discipline associated with Christmas often enabled slaves to interact in ways that they could not during the rest of the year. They customarily received material goods from their masters, perhaps the slave's yearly allotment of clothing, an edible delicacy, or a present above and beyond what he or she needed to survive and work on the plantation. For this reason, among others, slaves frequently married during the Christmas season. When Dice, a female slave in Nina Hill Robinson's Aunt Dice, came to her master, quote, one Christmas Eve and asked his consent to her marriage with Caesar, end quote, her master allowed the ceremony, and a great feast was spread. Dice and Caesar were married, quote, in the mistress's own parlor, before the white minister. More than any other time of year, Christmas provided slaves with the latitude and prosperity that made a formal wedding possible. On the plantation, the transfer of Christmas gifts from master to slave was often accompanied by a curious ritual. On Christmas Day, quote, it was always customary in those days to catch people's Christmas gifts and they would give you something, end quote. Slaves and children would lie in wait for those with the means to provide presents and capture them, crying Christmas gift, and refusing to release their prisoners until they received a gift in return. This ironic annual inversion of power occasionally allowed slaves to acquire real power. Henry, a slave whose tragic life and death is recounted in Martha Griffith Brown's Autobiography of a Female Slave, saved Christmas gifts and money to buy his freedom. Some slaves saw Christmas as an opportunity to escape. They took advantage of relaxed work schedules and the holiday travels of slaveholders, who were too far away to stop them. While some slaveholders presumably treated the holiday as any other workday, numerous authors record a variety of holiday traditions, including the suspension of work for celebration and family visits. Because many slaves had spouses, children, and family who were owned by different masters and who lived on other properties, slaves often requested passes to travel and visit family during this time. Some slaves used the passes to explain their presence on the road and delay the discovery of their escape through their master's expectation that they would soon return from their, quote, family visit. Germaine Logan plotted a Christmas escape, stockpiling supplies and waiting for travel passes, knowing the cover of the holidays was essential for success. Quote, Lord, speed the day. Freedom begins with the holidays, end quote. These plans turned out to be wise, as Logan and his companions were almost caught crossing a river into Ohio, but were left alone because the white men thought they were free men, quote, who have been to Kentucky to spend the holidays with their friends, end quote. Scenes in the Life of Harriet Tubman describes Tubman's successful effort to help her brothers escape at Christmas. Their master intended to sell them after Christmas, but was delayed by the holiday. The brothers were expected to spend the day with their elderly mother, but met Tubman in secret. She helped them travel north, gaining a head start on the master who did not discover their disappearance until the end of the holidays. Likewise, William and Ellen Crafts escaped together at Christmas time. They took advantage of passes that were clearly meant for temporary use. Ellen, quote, obtained a pass from her mistress, allowing her to be away for a few days. The cabinet maker with whom I worked gave me a similar paper, but said that he needed my services very much and wished me to return as soon as the time grant was up, writes William. I thanked him kindly, but somehow I have not been able to make it convenient to return yet. And as the free air of good old England agrees so well with my wife and our dear little ones, as well as with myself, it is not at all likely we shall return at present to the peculiar institution of chains and stripes. End quote. Christmas could represent not only physical freedom, but spiritual freedom, as well as the hope for better things to come. The main protagonist of Martha Griffin Brown's Autobiography of a Female Slave, Anne, found little positive value in the slaveholder's version of Christmas, equating it with, quote, all sorts of culinary preparations, end quote, and extensive house-cleaning rituals. But she saw the possibility for a better future in the story of the life of Christ. Quote, This same Jesus, whom the civilized world now worship as their Lord, was once lowly, outcast, and despised, born of the most hated people of the world, laid in the manger of a stable at Bethlehem. This Jesus is worshipped now. End quote. For Anne, Christmas symbolized the birth of the very hope she used to survive her captivity. Not all enslaved African Americans viewed the holidays as a time of celebration and hope. Rather, Christmas served only to highlight their lack of freedom. As a young boy, Lewis Hughes was bought in December and introduced to his new household on Christmas Eve, quote, as a Christmas gift to the madam, end quote. When Peter Bruner tried to claim a Christmas gift from his master, quote, he took me and threw me in the tan vat and nearly drowned me. Every time I made an attempt to get out, he would kick me back in again until I was almost dead, end quote. Frederick Douglass described the period of respite that was granted to slaves every year between Christmas and New Year's Day as a psychological tool of the oppressor. In his 1845 narrative, Douglass wrote that slaves celebrated the winter holidays by engaging in activities such as, quote, playing ball, wrestling, running foot races, fiddling, dancing, and drinking whiskey, end quote. He took particular umbrage at the latter practice, which was often encouraged by slave owners through various tactics. Quote, one plan was to make bets on their slaves, as to who can drink the most whiskey without getting drunk. And in this way they succeed in getting whole multitudes to drink to excess. In his book, My Bondage and My Freedom, Douglass concluded that, quote, all the license allowed during the holidays appears to have no other object than to disgust the slaves with their temporary freedom and to make them as glad to return to their work as they were to leave it, end quote. While there is no doubt that many enjoy these holidays, Douglass acutely discerned that they were granted not merely in a spirit of charity or conviviality, but also to appease those who yearned for freedom, ultimately serving the ulterior motives of slave owners. For links to the works and collections mentioned, and for other titles of interest, visit the highlight on the web at docsouth.unc.edu/highlights/holidays.html. For the most recent highlight and a link to the highlights archive, visit docsouth.unc.edu and click on the highlights link. Thank you for listening to the Documenting the American South Highlights podcast.